Welcome back to episode 162 of the Draft FC podcast. Welcome back to the Draft FC podcast, the podcast website and YouTube channel dedicated to all things official draft FPL. My name is Mitch and I'm your host for another game week preview going over waiver options, hidden gems and general Premier League chat ahead of game week 28. Now, apologies again for not being able to get an episode out last week. I put out a little last minute message on our Twitter feed. Time has been very tight over the last couple of weeks, continues to be tight due to some family issues that need to be tended to. I'm absolutely fine, but yeah, haven't had the usual amount of time to put into the podcast and preparation, and last week I wouldn't have been able to add any value to your waivers at all. I haven't really had much time to prep for this week, but I wanted to get something out as I had a bit of time today, even though it is quite last minute. It will be less than the usual well-structured gaming previews that you'll be used to hearing from me, and a bit more rambly. I've got a rough idea of what I want to talk about, but the mic is on and we'll see where we go. Obviously, a very interesting couple of weeks, particularly for draft FPL, because we've got doubles followed by a massive, massive blank game week where we've only got four fixtures to contend with. So I'm not going to go through all the usual chatting through the fixtures, I mean, because that's pretty much all you guys will have been staring at for the last few days as you've been plotting your waivers. You can see from Waiver Watch that a lot of the players coming in last week were already thinking about this week and next. We had Zabani, Ogbene, Barkley, Tavernier were all up there, and a lot of the usual players making way for the injuries. So Mitoma and Nkunku, Semedo, Maguire, Dawson and Totti. So all those Wolves defenders leaving the show, which again, very reasonable. So looking ahead to this week and next, let's start with a bit of general strategy talk. So I think if you're in a classic scoring league, you simply maximise this week like you would do most game weeks. And I think you just take next week as you find it. I think the scoring opportunities are probably better this week than they are next week. So I don't see much point in hedging too much in a classic scoring league. I think if those Bournemouth players and Luton players are there to get, I would go and get them. In head-to-head leagues, I think this is definitely the week to do some homework on your opponent. Now, you should be doing that every week, but I think particularly this week, it is worth just having a look at how they lined up last weekend. So if they're stacked with Bournemouth and Luton players already, and you currently have none, I would be tempted to make waivers with a view very much to next week. And you can then either ignore this week and potentially just chalk it up as a loss, or play the counter-offensive, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. If you just seem to be well-matched, then I think you play the waivers at face value and look to bring in those attractive players as they are in your waiver pile. Now, the choice between Bournemouth and Luton is interesting, depending on whether you're playing a 1 or a 2 week strategy, but there's no right or wrong answer, and I think it's also heavily dependent on the individual players themselves. The fact that Luton have a home game next week against Forest makes them particularly attractive to me, as my team is currently looking like being very light come game week 29, as I think most of our teams will. Now, that counter-offensive strategy idea I just mentioned is basically to bet against the doublers. So, you know, if you've got a head-to-head matchup with a guy that's got the likes of Solanke, Zabani already, Barkley, Doughty, all stacked up there, then just simply move in the other direction. And obviously Bournemouth and Luton, one of their doubles is against each other. Bournemouth's other fixture is Sheffield United, who themselves don't have a game next week, and I would very much stay away from them. So that's probably a step too far in the counter-offensive, but maybe for larger leagues, it is something you can look at. Luton's other game, though, is Palace away. So that obviously means Palace have a home game against Luton this week. They do, however, blank next weekend, so that would really be a short counterpunch just looking at this week. If you want to go on the counter, but also have a view to next week, I think there are two standout teams. That's Forest and West Ham. Currently, I've got a few penciled in waivers to bring in players from both of these teams. With Forest, the lineup could be tricky to predict this week. I've already gone through the predicted lineups ahead of the weekend today and publish those. I'll obviously continue to tweak those as any news comes out. I'm expecting one or two of the AFCON players to be reintegrated finally into the 11, and I've currently got Willy Bolly starting at centre-back if he's fit. Their clutch of attacking midfielder or wingers, you know, could have a very good day away at Brighton, and then next week they've got an away trip to Luton, which is obviously very attractive, and no doubt everyone will be scrambling for any Old Forest player they can get their hands on, so why not just get a slight head start on that. West Ham are the other club. Now, they've got a home game against Burnley this week, so even just among the other single game week players, they're going to be very attractive this weekend. And then they've got a game in 29 at home to Villa, which is obviously less appealing, but it is a fixture at home and an opportunity to score points. Now, just briefly going back to Forest, their game this weekend is away to Brighton, which at face value, probably the sort of fixture you would kind of pass over when you're looking down the list. I'm going to segue that just to quickly bring it back to my own, my main draft team this week, because I think that it pulls in nicely at this point. Now, I'm currently sat on Lewis Dunk. I brought in Ansu Fati and I've had Danny Welbeck for a couple of months now. So I've got three Brighton players. And currently, if all goes well on who I want to get in and out on the waivers, I'm looking to move all three of those players on. So, you know, again, at face value, a home game for Brighton against Forest, you'd probably think, oh, I'll keep Dunk, I'll keep Welbeck and Fati maybe for another week. The problem is, we saw a real shake-up in the lineup last weekend, and they got rightly trounced by Fulham. I think if you just look at the lineups on paper, it's no surprise that they didn't come out on top in that game. I think looking back now with hindsight, their Europa League fixtures, one of which tonight and then the second leg next week, is really where the focus is going to be now for Brighton and De Zerbi. So we saw massive rotation. I think I only got 4 out of the 11 correct for my predicted lineup last weekend. I think if you looked at most of the predicted lineups, nobody got more than 6, I think. And the reason for that is quite simple. The league is drifting from Brighton this season. You know, they're currently just floating around in mid-table. They are currently 9th, to be exact, with some, you know, stiff competition above them. Newcastle, West Ham, United all going decent, plus Wolves and Chelsea and Fulham chasing behind them. So they're obviously looking at, you know, what's their best chance of doing something this season. It's probably going far in the Europa League. De Zerbi, obviously, with his Italian roots and having managed there before, will be massively up for a couple of legs to show what he can do against Roma and really put himself on the front pages back home in Italy if they can get a good result there for what is, on paper, a tough matchup for Brighton. So what that means, I expect, is that at the weekend for their Premier League fixture against Forest, we'll see massive rotation again and a team probably more similar to the personnel we saw last weekend. So I think tonight against Roma, the starting 11 will look more along the lines of the 11 that I was predicting last weekend. And it will be again, obviously, for the second leg next week. So I'm not too fussed about hanging on to those Brighton players. So I don't then fancy them to get much of a result against Forest. They then blank. They then come back with after the international break with an away trip to Liverpool, then an away trip to Brentford, and then Arsenal at home after that. So I'm not really going to want to start or play them now for a good month or so going into April. And actually, if you look at their end of season run, the only sort of okay games on paper, they've got an away trip to Burnley and away trip to Bournemouth. That, again, not particularly appealing. And say, other than that, it's Chelsea, Villa, Newcastle and United. So I'm happy to check out of Brighton now for the rest of the season. And I'm going to try and move all of them on this week. Looking at the ownership stats on Draft FC, Brighton players are still generally very popular. I'm sure a lot of you listening will have one or two Brighton players. And yeah, so if you want to follow suit with me, I'm going to be looking to move them on. So if I can't get in someone with a decent double this week, which it's obviously going to be tricky because lots of us have already been moving to accumulate them already, I'm going to be moving them out with a view to next week and particularly paying focus on West Ham and Forest. Really, who you get in and who you want is going to largely come down to who's going to play defensively. For West Ham, or West Ham in general, I think they're going to be the easiest to predict. We've seen two identical starting 11s in the last two games now. For me, The 11 that we've seen over the last couple of games is the 11 that I would set out for what it's worth. Obviously not a Premier League coach, and I respect David Moyes actually, but yeah, so I'm predicting an unchanged 11 again, barring any late injury news in the next 24 hours or so. And I think if they get a positive result, which they very much should do at home to Burnley, then again, I'd be predicting them to go in to game week 29 with exactly the same lineup too against Aston Villa. So we can be very sure who to grab there. And I think Mavropanos is going to be the most available player. But I know there are lots of leagues out there where you'll find an Emerson, Kufau, a Suchek even. A few people still slow to grab Louis Paqueta again. All very good options for this week and next. The other team to mention, and they won't be, I imagine, top of people's wish lists, particularly those who scramble around doing last minute waivers on their phone, which we're all guilty of. But I think if you look at your team with a bit more clarity, with some time to think about it, Brentford are an interesting one to consider. You know, if you're looking at your 11 this week, and if you put your lineup, put your 11 in, if it doesn't look too bad, and again, if you're in a head-to-head league and your opponent looks very undermatched compared to you, I'm looking at myself, for example, in my home league, I'm sitting on Solanke since draft day. I picked up Tavernier a couple of weeks ago with Barkley, and I've also got Mengi in defence. So I'm already got two Bournemouth and two Luton players in my squad who I'm all expecting to start and all being well play in both of the matches. So I don't need to go too far in getting more Bournemouth or Luton players. I'm probably quite happy with that. So with some of my moves, particularly moving out those Brighton players that I just mentioned, I can also look to next week, and Brentford then really come into it because they play Burnley, who, you know, next to Sheffield United are the worst team in the league. So lots of players available in my home league for Brentford. Obviously their fixtures haven't been great lately. Who they had recently, they've had Chelsea, West Ham, City, Liverpool. So rightly so, we've all been fully moving off Brentford players. So what it means is there are most, if not all of them, sat in the waiver pole in defence. The likes of Reguilón, Roslov, Collins should all be available. And if you look at your squad and you can park them on the bench for this week, then get them now and save yourself a headache for game week 29, knowing that that is a player that is definitely going to start. Beyond that, the fixtures aren't great for them again. So this is literally a 1 week punt for next week. But just consider it, rather than just getting in someone for the sake of it who seems to have an okay fixture this week who you might not even start, why not just use that bench spot for someone that is going to play next week when everyone's going to be at a premium? If you do the maths on next weekend, as I mentioned at the beginning, and as you've probably all seen, there are only four fixtures. So amongst those eight teams that are playing, there's going to be 88 that start. If you factor in the substitutions, that probably takes the total number of players that are going to get on the pitch to around 120-ish. So if you're in an eight-team league, considering you're obviously going to hold lots of the other high-value assets that aren't playing, the odds are nobody is really going to be able to field an 11. If you extend that, if you're in a 16-team league at the other end, just by looking at the odds of the numbers, the odds are that the average team is going to have five starters. So again, have a look at your squad. If you're currently in one of those large leagues and you happen to have, you know, Bowen, Watkins, Son, plus a couple that you can bring in, one or two of these other guys this week, if you're sat on six or seven starters in a large league next week, it's probably going to put you well above anyone else, you know, particularly if you're in a head-to-head matchup, should be good enough to tilt things in your favour. And as I said, for those smaller leagues, even 8, 9, 10 leagues, which is probably the most prevalent league size we see, I think if you're hitting 7 or 8, you're probably going to be, you know, getting above average in terms of just number of pure starters. There are definitely going to be some clean sheets to be had from those fixtures, I think. You know, Brentford, Burnley, Luton, Forest, Fulham, Spurs, there could be a nil in there amongst those six teams. West Ham, Villa, I think will be a bit spicier, and I expect that to be both teams to score. But yeah, I think despite the fact there's only so few games, there will be waiver pile clean sheets to be pulled out, and if you can pull them out this week, as I said, all the better. Just to round off, because I like to have one most weeks, my most hidden gem pick this week is a player I've already mentioned, and that is Mengi for Luton. His ownership is just 10% in 16 team leagues, and I expect him to play both games They've got some injury worries in central defence, and given their formation, I think Mengi's fairly safe to play the two. Say, away to Palace, away to Bournemouth, and then a home game against Forest in game week 29, not too bad at all. And you only really need Luton to get one clean sheet in those fixtures, plus some points just for playing, and you're on to a winner. So that's it for this episode. As I said at the beginning, apologies, this is a bit more rambly and unplanned than the usual one, going through player by player. Hopefully you got something out of this or gave you some food for thought. Happy to take any messages. It's not going to be very long, probably, between listening to this or me getting it out, you listening to it, and the waiver deadline tomorrow. I'm obviously recording this on Thursday the 7th, and the waivers are on Friday the 8th at 11 o'clock ahead of a normal Saturday lunchtime kickoff between United and Everton. Now, because of the double, which is just the added fixture of Bournemouth against Luton, which will be played on Wednesday the 13th, is then quite a tight turnaround between that and the fixtures at the weekend. So we do have a little bit of time. The deadline for waivers next week will be on Friday afternoon, because there's no Saturday lunchtime kickoff, just 2-3 p.m. so 5:30, and then one game on Sunday. So a pretty miserable game, or pretty miserable weekend of football, but at least I get to watch Spurs on Saturday evening. So head over to Twitter or X and give us a follow there at @draft_FC. And that's also the easiest place to message me if you've got any questions about your team or anything in particular. Head over to draftfc.co.uk. Have a look on there if you haven't already. For those that aren't signed up, our predicted lineups are free and available just off the main homepage. And I know that's very popular with many of you. And as I said at the beginning, I'll continue to tweak those in the next 24 hours or so. There won't be a video this week just for time constraints along with the podcast, but you listening, that obviously won't bother you. If you do use YouTube now and again, then head over there and find our YouTube channel. The link's in the description below. Draft FC is quite easy to find, and subscribe so that you keep up to date when we drop things on there. And otherwise, best of luck for the waivers. It is one of those weeks where you do just have to spend 5 minutes thinking things through and having a look how your team's likely to line up next week. Should be some big scores, so looking forward to coming back next week with hopefully business as usual. And as always, stay shook.